for listening. We can't believe we're still doing this. We can't believe how much money we spend on time. How much on hockey.
Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the Youth Hockey Podcast. And Coach, did you think we would make it this far so quick?
No.
No. How many games are your kids have your kids played so far? Because that always fascinates me. Like you know, like we're about 17 weeks into the season, basically, because we started a new season just about when the season started for a lot of kids. So how many games has your kid officially gone through in that amount of time?
Mine, 18. Wow. Coach?
I would say he's probably at about 37 right
Whoa.
Now.
Whoa.
The princess has got 45 under her belt already. 45 for young
let's be fair though.
No, I don't want her to be fair.
Teams.
Yes, she is. Okay.
Oh, I thought it was up to like four teams now.
No, that's very kind of you. But I will say, and this is something that the dad has, you know, feels very good about. The number one team in the PWAA in Kaha. My daughter got a hat trick against in the Kaha weekend. I'm not saying, by the way, it was a good game. Everybody played really hard. Both teams, I think we made a game out of it for them. We haven't been. We've been losing to this team pretty badly. We lost 5-4. But I was pretty happy that the princess put up three on the board. It was one of those things, because this was my topic, Lance, which is when you walk out of a game
exactly.
and you're trying to hide how happy you are because you've lost. You know, like, have you ever lost a game and still been happy? And that is my entree into that topic.
I could picture it now, Randy skipping out of the rink, whistling, and somebody questioned you and you said, I just saved a ton of money on my insurance.
Exactly. I was, right. You know, it wasn't like I was that happy in the moment because we did still lose, but somewhere on the drive home, I was like, honey, you just did an amazing, you know, how cool is it that a girl in a double A league is playing with that kind of intensity. I was amazed by her. That's something I'm sure dads of daughters out there everywhere have had the feeling. And it was really a good feeling.
You know, Randy, you teased about things you'd like to say, but you think you can't say.
That's the end.
Just thought of one. I think Randy Gifford walking out of the rink going, your kid sucks. My daughter is king.
No, that's not how, oh, by the way. Okay. Because this team listens.
That's not right.
This team listens to the podcast, and there's no way, guys, I don't think that. Please do not put that on me, because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get to the rink like next week, and they're going to be like, oh, so that's how you really feel. No, it's not. I just felt very happy just because that was such a good team, and she did so well. Many of your kids have done all those things as well. Please don't bring out the knives. That's what I'm asking.
So you're saying Lance is a bad guy because I walk out going, suck it, losers.
Well, Lance, you are an excellent man. So I'm not going to even
go
there.
Is that aimed at the opponents or your own teammates?
Everybody.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought with Lance, he was like saying to everybody. That's exactly right. Lance is like, hey, you all can suck it. My team, their team, your team. I don't even care.
My kid's transcending the entire sport of hockey right now.
You know what they call a generational talent? Alexander.
Well, shall we get on to the topic of the day, or does Randy have any little tidbits to start with?
No, I'm teasing that topic though, because the next time we do the show, I want to talk about times where you've lost, but you're very happy that you lost. You're still happy. If it happens,
if you're fortunate enough to have your kid have a circumstance like this, I guarantee it's just who can resist. I mean, it's a good feeling when
it's not just that
just transcends
Coach, you know, do you remember when we missed out on a consolation game, like the consolation game, if we went 5-6, we were going to play later that day. And if we went 3-4, we had to wait till the next morning, which right. meant driving all the way down to friggin' San Diego in the morning. And we lost and we were 5-6 that day. And we were like, yes, I'm so glad we lost. Let's get this consolation over and go.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not just when your kid does great. There are times when a losing outcome can be an excellent thing. And we'll get to that next time.
Okay, we will. So, today's topic, I think it's a good topic. It's a rehash of an old topic from many, many episodes ago, but I think it's appropriate right now. And I think all three of us experienced the subject matter, but at different times. So obviously we thought about it differently.
And we have more experience now too. I think since the last time we talked about this, I think all of us have gotten certainly either firsthand or secondhand experience in this topic. And that's why I like it so much, Lance.
Exactly. So the topic is this, is that do you send your kid out of state in pursuit of better opportunities and better development? And if you do, when do you do it? When's too soon? When's too late? When's the fine point? And like I said, I think each of us sent our kids out of state, number one. And number two, I think we sent them out at different ages. You know, I mean, I could start. I sent my kids out at the age of 14. Coach, when did
wait a second. Just a follow-up question, Lance. Where did they go?
To Shattuck St. Mary's.
Ah, yes. One of the finest institutions in the country for preparing young people to play hockey. So wanted to get that in there. If you're going to Shattuck, it might be a little different rules is all I'm saying. But
well, I think we definitely want to circle back around on that, because yes. It's more than, you know, it's not just Shattuck. There's a lot of institutions, but that like you're making a particular choice there. We can talk about that.
Well, yeah, if my kid gets into Harvard at 14, I might say, no, you know what I mean? No, yeah. There are kids that get into Harvard at 14. It's Harvard. Mm-hmm. You know, of course I want him to go to Harvard. I think that's a little different. I think Lance's scenario is kind of the dream scenario, or not dream. I don't know what to say about it, but there is an external draw to the name Shattuck. Coach Raleigh, please continue.
I was just saying that the differentiation point there is that you're sending your kid to a prep school. Shattuck just happens to be one which has a specialization in their focus on the sport of hockey. There's other schools. There's like, in fact, there's like IMG. Offers a whole bunch of sports for people where their kid, what they believe is their kid is going to be a college athlete at very least, possibly could be a professional. IMG started out it started out being the place where people that had kids that were tennis prodigies all sent their kids. And then now it's become this thing which does football and lacrosse and all these different sports.
Coach, but, do they have pickleball?
I just had to cough there, but
I just need to know if they have
pickleball. No, I don't think they have pickleball.
Then I can't take them seriously. I can't take any institution that says they're going to develop athletes seriously if they don't have pickleball.
Okay, thank you for that opinion. But anyway, get back to the point I was trying to make, which is you send your kid to a school, you're sending him to a prep school. Maybe they're a gifted musician. Regardless, you're sending them away to prep school, right? There's a school component. There's also academies, and there's also like people that just move their whole family, you know, maybe into an apartment so that their kid can play in a different area where they believe there's better hockey and thus more opportunity for them. So I just felt like we ought to, you know, kind of lay the groundwork that there's a lot of different things that people do, right?
Right. Well, what age did Connor head out?
Well, you know, maybe the other thing we should say is that, like, because we're all in California, we have been dealing with the fact that California has been doing this because of all of its special geographic challenges in terms of having your kid play the sport of ice hockey. People have been having their kids leave California in droves for a bunch of years. And eventually it gets to a point where you start to question, like, if we stayed, you know, are we the only ones? It started to feel that silly. But to answer your question, see, the thing is, I had a way of having my kid play on the East Coast in a year where I suspected, because of COVID, there wasn't going to be much of any hockey. And I guessed absolutely right. And there was absolutely no hockey in California that year. So that, I don't sort of count that. But the year after that, so my kid was 16 when he and basically went to a school away from home, did the billeting.
You moved out by there with him the first time, right? The first COVID year, Coach was there with his kid playing in the rough streets of Philly, I believe. That was
right.
And then you actually said he was independent.
We had different possibilities, and so he ended up going to a hockey academy, which also involved a private school that he went to.
Made the right choice there. We played on the rain that year, and I can tell you, you know, I'm not trying to brag here, but I think the rain. I'm not going to try.
Well, you know, just to reinforce what you said, Coach, too, about the, you know, about the logistics and the circumstances, you know, perfect example. The year before my boys went off, they played for the Kings, and in order to get what the Kings felt was a competitive schedule that was going to open doors for them and make them better players, we were on a plane minimally once a month. A couple of times we went out twice in a month. And so it was both expensive and just tiring flying to the East Coast and back frequently. And compare that to last season when my one son played out in New Jersey, his longest road trip was a 4-hour bus drive, you know, that happened like once every few months. Like you said, there's just such a huge concentration of hockey on the East Coast. It makes the logistics so much easier.
Now, who did they play when they were playing in Shattuck? Who was the, what was the preponderance of teams they were playing there?
You know, they, it was interesting because, again, the only thing, I think they took three long trips. They went up to Canada once by bus, which was a bit of a trek. And then they went from Minnesota to Green Bay and Minnesota to Carolina. But then the rest of the time they were playing, you know, there's some great high school hockey teams out of Minnesota, and they were playing teams from that area. Plus, you could, you know, with an hour to 2-hour drive, you can get to multiple states. So they had their pick of top quality teams. And a lot of times what they would do is they would invite three or four teams to come out to them and play like in a little tournament where teams would come in like on a Thursday, leave Sunday night, you know?
Right.
And, because they were,
yeah, my kid did got invited to do, his team got invited to do that. And it's right at the end of the year and they decided not to do it. But yeah, because it's Shattuck, you know, they seriously considered it.
Yeah, they're competitive games, and it's it's fun times. I think it's a quaint little town that Shattuck is located in, and that's a consideration, because you know the top teams, as we all know, in California do a lot of travel.
Right.
And Randy, what's your when did your son head out?
My son, I've never sent a son away for hockey except in the junior division. You know, the junior A, my son went to Missoula to play a year there. That was the COVID year. But we've never sent the kids too far away from the household, mainly because they're not house trained. I don't know exactly what they do in another location. I have to keep my eye on them. I love them dearly, by the way. That's not
I thought
true.
You were going to say house broken.
That too.
Right.
I remember when we first talked about this, because you'll get the siren's call of send your kid somewhere and he'll be better because he'll be playing these kids. And I think and they'll say, you know, no matter what, like 90% of the kids that come out of our program are amazing and 10% have problems. I think you can flip that in most cases. I know you guys both sent your kids, and I'm not calling you out on this. I think you've been part of the 10%, but I think 10% of the people move forward because they go out of town, and 90% find that it is just a place to spend their time, but it does not bring them the advanced development that they are promised at most of these institutions. This is just my stand. I know that there are people out there that have their kids in prep school that totally think that that's the best thing for them. And you might be right, but I think they present the numbers differently than the numbers actually bear out. 90-10 might be wrong. Let's say 70-30. 30% of the people thrive in that environment. I think 70% of the people do not thrive. I think they get swept into a system that that gets them taken away from their support system. It gets them taken away from their parents. And any of the problems that you've seen on a year of hockey where they're right there with you, they have those same problems, except nobody's there with them. And at some of these kids can handle it. Some of them are mature and good, and they just face it all with the kind of with the kind of conduct that you'd want a kid to do. And I think a lot of them find themselves just being, you know, they always make them play down. They always make them play an extra year so they can get an extra year's money out of the parents. You know, like everybody's like, oh, well, he was ninth grader. He just finished ninth grade, but they want to start him again in eighth grade. And I'm like, you know, to me, that is, you've got to know. And by the way, you've got to know the other side. I just represent the other side. I'm not crapping on anyone. I'm saying beware, because almost all of the stories, I've not heard a great California prep school story where that kid gets so good and moves on and goes to the NHL. I haven't heard it yet. Now, I'm sure one of you two have one, but
I got two for you. If you
there
want
you to go. Go ahead. Go, you know, prove me right. Wrong. And that's great. But I'm telling you, that's my standpoint. Not a popular one, I'm sure, amongst some parents, but you know, you got to have everybody's opinion. There's nothing right. Wrong with somebody that disagrees with you. That's just another thing to add on to your own toolbox. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I don't know if they want their names out there, but there was the one boy from San Diego who went with John and Chris, which kind of made it easier for all three of them because they were all buddies. And he was drafted, he's not in the NHL, but he was drafted in the second round last year by the Red Wings. And then the other one, you know.
And where did he go? He went to Shattuck, you said?
Yeah, he went to Shattuck. He played all four.
From San Diego, yeah, okay.
He was from San Diego to Shattuck. He's now playing D1 in college and waiting for his opportunity, I guess, to break into the lineup in the Red Wings, you know, second round draft choice.
Oh, yeah. Nothing to bravo. Sneeze at. Absolutely. Bravo.
And well, then the other one, the agent's son went to Shattuck. He started the year before John and Chris, and his son was drafted in the first round and is playing in the AHL, in the minors, for an NHL team. So, and I got to admit, I watched him for a young guy. I watched him in the preseason play in some, he played against the Kings, and he looked like he fit right in with everybody else on the ice.
Oh, that's awesome. Again, you know, like this is Shattuck too. This is the top. Okay. What Lance is talking about is with, if your kid gets into the top hockey prep school, he has two stories of people who are on the cusp of getting into the NHL in this age group. And that's important. That's an amazing thing. But I'm not talking just about Shattuck, Lance. And I think you know that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you too, Randy. I meant, you know, because now, you know, hindsight, as they say, is 50-50, you know, and I look back and I think,
Raleigh, are you going to correct him on that or not?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, 2020.
There you go. 50-50 would mean that it's 50% of the time correct and 50% of the time incorrect. You don't get that math, Lance.
Hey, I'm an accountant. I don't do math.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a 10 key. But anyway, I look back and I think Kathy would agree that part of us feels like we sent at 14, we sent them too early, that they would have been better served waiting a year or two before they headed out. But on the flip side, too, we also both concede that it was definitely a coming of age experience where they had to grow up and be more responsible, you know, and not, you know, not being micromanaged. They had to manage themselves. So I think, bumps along the road, I think they grew up a lot. And now with both of them living out, we feel like they're able to handle it much more maturely.
Well, and let me say, Lance, I'm trying very carefully not to criticize what you or Coach Ralston did. You understand that. It's not a personal thing.
Right, no.
I am trying to lay out my own philosophical bent. And like I said, you guys, you have your own, you know your kids better than I do. I'm just saying if I were to draw a line for all kids, it's going to be different than the way the prep schools draw it. But you know, I'm just one opinion, but I don't want it to sound at all personal. If it came across anything like that, please
forgive
me on. Okay, good.
You know,
good.
Not only that, but you know, if you look back on in the history, you know, I think the world's changed obviously in the last 10, 15 years, but you know, in the old days, in the golden era of Canadian hockey, when all the guys came out of Canada and all the guys played major junior and then transition to the NHL, you know, most of those guys, they were home until they were 16. When they left, they were already 16. So like, that's why I think to myself, 14 might be a little too early, to go out there. I think they would have been better served hockey wise and educationally wise if they had stuck around and left when they were 16. But that's only, you know, that's my kind of my opinion from my experience. Like I said, I think there was instances of I think they were too young to be out there and on their own. And
you had twins. So they kind of, like, first of all, I can say there is no way we would have done what you guys did. You know, not that anybody was knocking on the door. That's another thing is, you know, you had Shattuck coming to call basically saying, hey, we want to find a way to get your kid here to play hockey. That wasn't happening for us, but I know my kid was not mature enough at the age that your sons went off to do it. And I think very few people, is it true that their kid is mature enough to go live by themselves without, you know, some issue.
Right, exactly. Not only that, but you know, the school, like all these prep schools, they're all college preparatory schools. So I think my sons felt a lot of pressure, and that's why they kind of wanted to take a step back and come home. And none of the pressure was hockey related. It was all educational, you know. I meant the school expected it, they had high expectations, high demands. And I think it was difficult for them to keep up with the pace of the schools that were so overachievers, you know, all.
Well, that's something that I kind of wanted to say sort of in rebuttal to the points you were making, Randy, is I think people, if it's you've got it twisted. If your thought is I'm sending my kid to the school for them to get better at hockey. If they get better at hockey, there's a whole lot of things that go into that. They'll get better at hockey just by continuing to play. In some of these schools, it's more of a, well, if your kid's in there and they want your kid, it's because they see your kid potentially as being on a track to playing higher level of hockey. But across the board, they are prep schools, unless it's a hockey academy. I will put that out, you know, as another aside. But in general, prep schools, the way the schools themselves run, they, you know, even at Shattuck, they have multiple sports. You go there, they expect the kids to play at least a couple of sports, right? So I don't think, you know, if people send their kids there thinking that this is 100% a hockey bet, you know, you got your famous alumni like Sidney Crosby. Well, what was he there a year? One right. year, I think. I mean, what does that mean? He was there for 1 year. You know, Nate McKinnon, I don't think he graduated from there. It was like a couple of really exceptional players passed through a program. Also Shattuck, you know, because of where it is geographically, they have really gone after California and they've had a lot of Californian kids that they've recruited. So some of these teams it seems like, you know, half the kids on the roster are kids that we knew that were playing here locally in California. But that's, I want to say, look, I think in some ways we're elevating Shattuck to a position that it doesn't really deserve to have. There's a lot of other really well-known, prestigious, old school prep schools that have hockey programs that turn out kids that, you know, get drafted, go to college. They don't all just come from Shattuck. It's not, you know, it's not a super team. It does have a huge presence in the West Coast. And so we're very familiar with that, but there's schools, you know, that churn these type of kids out, you know, up in Massachusetts, and you know, we can't even compare it to the top like 10 Minnesota hockey teams. I mean, those teams play, and there's like 7-8 kids on the ice that are all Division I commits in high school. So, I do think that, you know, if you're looking at this as a parent, then you're looking at it. You should be most interested in that academic component to it, because that's really what they're offering.
Well, Lance, remember that anecdote where you were talking about some guy was talking about how he went to a prep school and found out that it wasn't about hockey, and he wished he'd sent them to a prep school that was more about hockey.
Right. I'm trying to think.
You remember that, though.
I remember. Yeah, me too. I don't remember who told me that. But
yeah,
right.
No, but that I remember the anecdote, which is that this guy was like, you know, from California. He was like, it was the opposite of what Raleigh's saying. I really thought, you know, prep school was going to make my, and then I found out that none of the kids from this prep school go anywhere in hockey. The prep school is known for being really great academics. And he was mad.
Exactly.
Remember? Yeah. No. I mean, so I was like, yeah, you know, my kid's going to be really smart.
Right. It's like the point of going to that school is that they get 15% of their students into the Ivy League.
Yes. And exactly.
And you know, maybe puts them on a path to have long term success. So,
oh man! And boy, was he pissed.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, listen, that's another thing. There's an awful lot of schools. There really is. So, you know, absolutely. You can get to a school, and most of the people that I know who have sent their kids from California to the East Coast to have them go to a prep school to play hockey, most of them that I've talked to have, the ones I know are very aware that the hockey program isn't at their school isn't, you know, one of the best programs. It's they were more looking at it as it's a holistic thing. It's an opportunity they want. And I also got to say, like Lance brought this up, and it cannot be underestimated. If you're playing AAA and your kid's playing on a AAA team and you're spending $25,000 to $30,000 for them to play hockey and travel. And on top of that, the travel is then requiring them to miss 12, 15 days of school, where the schools don't look kindly, most of them, upon your kids missing any school.
But let's make sure that people know this is California school, Raleigh. That's a little different than like school.
Well,
that's just my joke. I just like some of these schools. I remember
I was
a week off for like fall break. Okay, this is my daughter's schedule. A week off before Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving off, and then 3 minimum days to start out. I'm like, come on, guys, you got to try harder, you know?
Right, but like, I mean, that's a lot of the schools. I don't think it's just in California, but a lot of schools.
No, I don't.
The public schools are funded based on how many days that kids are in school. So you're in this antagonistic relationship with the school, and so this is a reason why a lot of people have looked at this whole scenario and just said, well, wouldn't it just be better if I spent roughly this same amount of money to send my kid to a school where they will play hockey and it'll probably be a pretty good level of hockey, maybe even better than here. And they'll get a private school education, which is what they're really getting.
And to reinforce your point, not only that, but when you have a school that has a big hockey program, they build the education around it. You know what I mean?
So come on, guys. Don't you like the truancy letters?
Exactly.
Come on, don't you
let me
enjoy
tell you something, Randy,
getting those truancy letters? Like,
having my kid have his grade go down a whole half point because he missed a test and the teacher refused to let him make it up. I didn't appreciate that.
Well,
to be honest,
that's
with
true. Okay, if you're gonna be honest, and, Raleigh, I mean,
so
great.
these are all reasons
down.
Why I think people you know, made these type of value decisions. Now, again, left at 16. And I can tell you the other thing about that is that, you know, we had this conversation, like, you know, for him, I was like, well, if you want to go do this, like, we had a number of different options that year. And I was like, well, what do you want to do? And it was his choice to go do it. We were able to do it. And that, you know, I'm happy about that. I wasn't excited about, you know, not seeing my kid anymore. And I was concerned, you know, him living on his own or living, you know, away from me in a place where I cannot really help him, outside of being on a phone. I don't really know what's exactly is going on. And, you know, but it's something he wanted to do. And I will say a lot of the kids that I know of really wanted to do this for whatever reason. You know, they wanted this adventure, this opportunity to go to these places. And I think a lot of parents then are sort of going along with their kids' dreams. Now, if it doesn't work out,
bookmark on this, by the way. I'm certain that they had a better situation. How many bad billet stories have you accumulated? Because I've had a few, and I've only had one kid billet.
Yeah.
And I've already had it. Just so you know,
billeting is
at least a school.
Crazy,
yes,
crazy
at least the school has some friggin' standards. Billeting at some point we should talk about that because man, are there some bad stories, billet stories. But yes, please.
But hey, let me tell you really quick. I'll tell you my school story. That I don't know if you guys had ever heard this because, you know, in seventh grade, and they were traveling a lot. They were missing. You know, they were missing days of school and their grades suffered for it. But it was exactly like the coach said, you know, they were missing things. And I don't know if out of spite or just out of being unflexible, they would not allow them to make up tests, assignments, et cetera. So I had a meeting during the summer before eighth grade with the principal. And I said, come on, principal, you've got kid A who's an actor, and I know he's gone a lot. And you've got kid B who's an athlete, who's like a world-class athlete, who's gone all the time. Like, how do you accommodate them? And so the principal and I made a deal, and we set down some ground rules, and this is what was going to happen. And we had to notify the teacher before a trip, and they were going to give them all the assignments. And when they came back, they would have X number of days to get that work in, plus makeup tests, exams, whatever, right? First trip out, we get back. Both my sons said, hey, we took a test and failed today. First day, first minute in the class. I'm like, whoa, no. They're supposed to give you time, blah, blah, blah. I have this deal, went to the principal, and he was like, well, they're the teacher. And so we had the same exact situation that year. And that's the year we decided, like, you know what, maybe it is time. Like Randy said, would you factor in the cost, or maybe Coach said it, you know, you factor in the cost and the headaches trying to manage the education with the athletics. And that was the day we made the decision to send them off.
Yeah, we had the exact same thing happen. I mean, to a letter. My kid on for two courses had two different courses where he was dropped a full grade level because teachers intentionally failed him on tests he did not take, where ostensibly he was sick. And another thing I've never liked to do is lie and pretend that my kid, you know, he missed that Friday test you had because he was sick. Well, no, he wasn't sick at all. Like he went on a hockey tournament, which
We went to the strip club, you encouraged us both to lie to our wives about
Molly. That's called making it rain. It's nothing to do.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Anyway. I wanted to bring that up because I was like, you didn't mind lying about that at all.
Well, I think I don't know, you know, if this happens everywhere, but right. I really was outraged by this. You're harming my kid's scholastic record. And it was this exact same thing. I communicated.
Do you mind if I flex a little bit on this?
Well, hang on. Let me finish my story. I communicated Coach. with the principal about the same thing. And he said the exact same thing to me. I can't do anything about this because this was a charter school that was under LAUSD, and he could not go to the teachers and say, hey, this isn't right, let the kid make up the test. So even though he agreed with me that it shouldn't have happened, hey, too bad, you get what you get and you don't get upset. And at that point you're really as a parent kind of going, well, you know, this is, something's not working here. My kid playing this sport that he loves to play and is pretty good at is now becoming a detriment to his scholastic record. So I know I'm sure that, you know, now we just have a podcast of three people and you've got two out of the three that had this exact thing happen to them. Makes me think that other people have had it happen to them too.
It's a good topic, guys. It's a really good topic.
Yeah.
Let me flex here.
The Giffords, we might not be top line centers. No, we might not be Shattuck bound, but the Giffords, we get A's. we get the one son, 4.25 academic, with honors and distinction. Second son, he's the brains of the entire outfit. I don't know if he, but he's floated through, I don't think he's ever gotten a B. And the daughter, charming, really smart, gets the highest grades, in her class. So, let me have that one. Okay, guys, cause you guys get all the stories about sending your kids to cool places to play hockey. I get to talk about nerdy stuff, like the kids bringing home good report cards and truancy letters in the same packet.
And they're probably all going to end up at Harvard together.
Oh, no, I don't want them to go to Harvard. I think that's a little bit, that's Harvard's great for law, but you know, they don't want to, you know, I think Dare wants to follow you, Coach Raleigh. He wants to go into coding. He wants to be a computer scientist. So
I mean, that's the important thing is that kid, well, you know, I mean, to be fair, a lot of these schools really do focus on the academics, and they have, you know, if the kid's not getting a certain grade point average, they can be suspended from play. It can be a motivator. A lot of the there's some sketchy stuff. I'll be first to say when I hear and when I look at places where there's online school, I kind of question, because I've heard kids tell me, yeah, you know, I went here last year and we went into the online school. I was done with all my work by 10 a.m. And, you know, basically an hour of work is about the most I needed to do. And, you know, you go, is this really a rigorous academic upbringing they're having here? Or, you know, whereas a lot of these schools, I mean, that's what they're known for.
I will say, you know, Coach, we did a hybrid. Dare was in West Ranch 3 days a week, and he also did online courses for things that weren't as rigorous, you know, for core classes that that he could do outside. So we had a lot fewer absences because it was a hybrid. He only took half of his classes on campus. Those are usually the AP classes, right. And the rest he took outside online.
Well, I'm not saying that I personally believe that there's a lot of I mean, it's an amazing time for
we did a little bit of that ourselves, and I by the way, I didn't like the idea very much, but you were right when you start going AAA, the amount of time that they spent, what you guys are talking about with how many hours and days you spend on the road, it is pretty, you know, it's pretty labor intensive at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, the at least the prep school route, because I will say, even though my kid did go to a hockey academy, like he went to a private school and, you know, that year, along with all the other kids at the academy, that particular year was the first year they did that. Other kids had done it in the past, but the entire like academy that year started this thing where they all went to this private school that's in the same town where the hockey academy was. I think that's a lot better than other hockey academies have these options where the kids go and they really are focused on hockey more than anything. I mean, again, they're, you know, depending on which ones you're talking about, some of them, you know, that's really what they're advertising. And there's ones like this up in Canada that are well known as well, where their focus is not on academics. It's on hockey. It's your kid will go and be on the ice 2 to 3 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week, not counting the games that they'll play on the weekends. It's hockey, hockey, hockey. And they'll be training and they'll be, you know, hitting the weight room, at, you know, an hour every day, you know, 3 or 4 of those days. That's more hockey than you get playing AAA. It's more hockey than you get, you know, going to a prep school. It's, you know, if that's the way you're looking at it and all you want to do is just maximize time on activity, then there's these options that are out there. But most of the people we know have gone to the prep schools. And I think the prep schools are really about academics. And if you think that they're about the sport, they're about the sport as much as any private school is about the sport. Like the private schools love their sports and they want their teams to, you know, and they expect all the kids to be athletic and, or maybe not be athletic is the right word, but they expect them to play, to be involved in athletics because they in general have a philosophy that they believe that the two go hand in hand. Be, you know, being active and young and active is going to be part of your, you know, your academic journey, I guess. If you think that it's going to make your kid into an NHL player, well, the odds are long on that.
Okay, Lance, I'm going to ask you to wrap us up on this one. I was going to do my You Can't Say That segment, but again, we're running long. And so I'm teasing it for the next episode, which is going to happen. You Can't Say That. We're going to have that in the next episode.
Just keep teasing us, Randy.
I'm sorry. I can't, you know, like where we, you know, we went long again. So go ahead.
Hey, well, we got a lot of wind to expel on these shows, you know? But okay, well, hey, well, that does it for episode 17. It's been a fun ride. And again, we wish that and welcome all any and all comments and input at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Randy especially likes when people poke fun at us, right, Randy?
Especially when it's at me, Coach, and Lance. I'm not letting them say anything bad about you guys, but if you want to take a shot at me, go ahead.
Well, shall we let the coach have the final word as we say sayonara?
I've said a lot, so yeah. I hope we haven't put people off coming back next week.
Number 16 in Korea, not yeah. Number 16 in South Korea.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, Coach has said it all and perhaps too much. Somebody, I forgot, ends his broadcast saying that. I can't remember who.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.